Welcome to Deloitte Global Insights, a production of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited. Deloitte Global Insights is an audio news podcast that looks at important cross-border issues that affect the global business community. I'm Stephen Heasley, and I'll be your host for today's program, TMT Predictions 2013, the Mid-Year Checkpoint, part of a series examining the 2013 TMT predictions. Each year, the Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited Global Technology, Media, and Telecommunications Group looks at trends for the coming year in its series of predictions. This is the 12th year for predictions, which are compiled from conversations with TMT companies, industry analysts, trade organizations, and Deloitte member firm partners and senior practitioners. Today, we'll be performing a bit of a mid-year accuracy checkpoint, and my guests are the co-authors, Duncan Stewart and Paul Lee. Duncan is director of TMT research for Deloitte Canada, and as I mentioned, is one of the co-authors for TMT predictions. Duncan, thanks for being here today.
Great to be here today.
And Paul Lee, who is with Deloitte United Kingdom, is head of global TMT research and is also co-author of TMT predictions. Paul, thanks for being here.
It's good to speak to you again.
Now, as you guys know, Deloitte's TMT predictions is really one of the few forward-looking publications that takes a look back and reports back on how well it did each year. So the report cards in both 2011 and 2012 were an identical 82%. Which is pretty impressive. Nice work, guys. But how are our accuracy grades shaping up for 2013, now that the year is a little more than halfway over?
Well, we don't have data, of course, on every single one of the predictions. And as you said, it's only a little bit more than halfway through the year. But we did an early assessment of how we're shaping up so far. And, of course, there's still a lot of 2013 left to go. But believe it or not, we're looking at about an 85% batting average this year. So that's actually up a few points over the past 2 years.
Wow, that's really good. So, Paul, which one of yours do you think is pulling the average up?
One of the ones which was one of the boldest predictions, which I'm still not 100% sure about, was around the launch of 4K, which as of the time of recording is almost exactly a year old. And it's been fascinating to see the progress that 4K, so this new HD technology for TV, has been making over the course of the year. So one of the predictions that we made around this was that there would be about 20 different models of 4K TV set by the end of the year. And we also expected that only a few of them would be available for under about $10,000. So we were pessimistic, actually, on two regards. So by the end of January, there were only 50 models of 4K TV set. And as of about a month ago, the price had dropped to about $5,000 for a branded 4K TV set. And for a Tier 2 brand, the price had dropped down to as low as about $1,000. So the progress in terms of the accessibility of the technology has gone a lot faster than certainly we were expecting.
What do you think it is that's bringing that price down? Like, why were we expecting it to stay higher than what we're actually seeing in the market?
There's a need always to upgrade what is available out of the market, and also it's part of a wider shift towards trying to address this greater demand for resolution. So what we see constantly over time is that TV sets get larger and larger. And as that happens, what you need is more resolution to fill it. But also one other factor with 4K is that it actually makes some elements of production easier. So for example, if you're shooting sports, and you want to actually transmit in HD, but you're recording in 4K, and when you zoom in onto the picture, you can do a 4x zoom and retain that HD quality. So there are even benefits now to deploying 4K at the production level.
And Duncan, when we recorded the launch podcast back in January, I remember speaking with you about the non-death of the personal computer, or the PC. Now, I know I haven't gotten rid of my laptop yet, and it's certainly not going anywhere anytime soon. So how is that prediction working out?
Well, it's funny, of course, because with all the headlines around the death of the PC, and with some admittedly very real challenges in sales of new personal computers, down down quite sharply in the first half of the year. The usage of devices out there is shaping up almost exactly the way we predicted. So what we said is that you got to look not at the number of new devices selling, because of course many people have PCs and just keep them, they just aren't replacing them quite as often. And people are out there buying an awful lot of smartphones and buying an awful lot of tablets, so you can't look at device sales. When you look at how many hours a day, when you look at how many bits are being accessed from each device, especially when you think about all the people who are at work all day, very often on a personal computer, our projection was that by the end of the year, by December 31st, 2013, that worldwide, only 20% of all the data in the world was going to be coming and going to and coming from smartphones and tablets combined. So mobile would be under 20%. We actually have a data point measured. This was in a report published in, I think it was June of this year, that the number is currently worldwide about 16-17%. So we look very much on track to stay sort of just under that 20% level for the end of the year. Now 20% is a lot, and of course it's growing, but it's important always to keep in context that although 20% of data is coming from mobile devices, that means that 80% is still coming from the traditional PC. So although sales aren't up, most people are still plugged into their personal computer for an amazing amount of data and time each and every day of the year.
And Paul, which of your other predictions would you put in the success columns, or which ones stand out to you from this year?
Yeah, well, if I could just talk about a couple of the ones in the mobile space. So one of the predictions we had was around what we were billing Orly CanApp, which is a new form of billing approach whereby what you would do is pay a fixed amount for unlimited usage of a particular application. So it's neither all you can eat across everything nor metered billing. So it's a happy medium. And what we were predicting was that about 50 operators around the world would offer these services. And we've been seeing that happening over the course of the year around the world, with Southeast Asia being a particular region where that's been pushed quite strongly, probably to encourage first-time usage of mobile data in general. And what we'd observe over the course of this year is that there is a blend of type of applications which seem to work very well with this form of billing, and they tend to be around communications. So it is things like Facebook, email, and then a range of instant messaging applications, most well-known of them probably being WhatsApp, which currently has about 300 million monthly users around the world. And certainly to contain costs for those, we see that being very popular. There's also been the offer of bundled media for a certain price, so access to songs, for example, via Spotify, or to video content. And what we're hearing from the industry is that demand for those services is not as strong. So where there is strong demand, and it is many operators around the world now which are offering a form of this tariff, what we're seeing is it's communication services which are driving that. And very quickly, on the theme of communication, I'll just sneak in another quick one in here. I'll be very brief on this. So one of the other predictions we had was around the outlook for smartphones. And as part of smartphones becoming mainstream, so the dominant form of phone, we're expecting a lot of, say, older age groups to start adopting them. And we've just got some data back for mobile consumption for the, well, for about 20 countries, but I've been looking at some of the UK data recently. And what that's showing is that smartphone adoption is up, which is no surprise for the UK. But the age group with the fastest adoption, with 55% year on year, is the 55 plus age group.
Yeah, very interesting data out of the UK, Paul. And Duncan, I know this is a global publication, but this year's cord cutting prediction really focused primarily on the trend in North America. I live here in the United States, and I'm really seeing a change in the way that the media is covering this topic. So how does that match up with what we predicted for cord cutting, at least in North America, at the beginning of 2013?
Well, the cord-cutting prediction is actually kind of a two-in-one. The first part that we talked about with it was that cord-cutting actually hadn't occurred up until the end of 2012, despite all the media stories about tens of percents of North Americans cutting their cord and not paying a cable company, a phone company, or a satellite company for a package of TV channels. That wasn't true. In fact, the number of people paying was going up, not down. But where we put the twist is saying that was about to start. We said that in 2013, in North America, in both Canada and the United States, the number of subscribers of people to these pay TV packages would begin to decline, really for the first time ever, and that has happened in the first quarter of 2013, in both the U.S. and in Canada, the number of people who were stopping payment, who were not paying for a subscription TV, was falling by about 100,000 homes in the United States, and actually by only a few thousand in Canada. In the second quarter, we have the U.S. numbers. Once again, it's down about another 100,000 year-over-year decline in the number of people paying for TV. But that number, 100,000, is really quite important because one of the key parts of our prediction was, although cord cutting would start, it was still going to be much, much smaller than you would think by reading the media. Our prediction was fewer than 1% of homes would do so. Between Canada and the U.S., that would actually be over a million cancellations. And given where we are in Q2, there's almost no chance of that actually happening in the final two quarters. So that's another prediction that looks like where we did a really good job of not just calling for a new trend, but quantifying the size of exactly how big that trend was going to be.
Well, guys, that was a great overview of some of our on-target predictions. But, you know, I'll ask the question, are there any misses so far?
Yeah, well, I'd say I'm still nervous about all the predictions through to the end of the year, certainly the ones which I was lead authoring. And so, you know, whilst one of the ones which I think will come true is around 4K, there is one niggle I have which is worth mentioning, which is around, you know, there are multiple things which need to go right for 4K to succeed commercially. And one of them is that sports needs to look great in 4K. All the demos I've seen of 4K, the showreels are of slow-moving scenes. So architecture, people sitting in cafes, waves. I've yet to be wowed by seeing sports in 4K. Now, the reason for this is because there are questions over what the frame rate should be, so how many frames per second. The greater the frame rate, the more bandwidth is required, and that's a tussle going on right now. So my caveat around 4K is when you see sports being transmitted in 4K and see how well that looks.
Duncan, same question. Is from your side of the house that are standing out as potential misses?
Well, it's funny. We talked about the importance of crowdfunding, and we educated a lot of people on the different kinds of crowdfunding, the fact that there's a lending market, the fact that there's a reward market, there's a charity market. There's something a lot of people are talking about, the equity market, and I think we were really pretty good about being cautious on that last one, saying it really all depends on the regulators. That's absolutely true. The equity market is still not taken off. We said that we thought that the crowdfunding market across all four categories would be about $3 billion for 2013. And it looks like, although we did such a great job of talking about crowdfunding and a really great job on educating people and being enthusiastic and talking about how important it was, we may have actually been too conservative. It looks like that $3 billion might be a little higher, might be $3.5 billion, might be $4 billion. So that's one of the things that's always worth keeping in mind. Because we actually write down our targets, we can be wrong by it not happening, by the number being low, but we can equally be wrong by being too conservative. And I think that's one of the things that's really useful about predictions, is we actually put down our number, our line in the sand, and it gives something that people can both measure our accuracy as we're doing on this mid-year checkup, but also incorporate our numbers into their longer-term strategic planning.
Thanks, guys. That was really a great recap of where we are at mid-year. Now, I know you're already working hard on predictions 2014, so any preview I can get out of you for what our listeners can look forward to?
We've got a bunch of topics. We're certainly looking at one of the things that's, speaking of crowdfunding, another crowd kind of one, massively open online courses, the MOOCs that people are talking about, maybe a real change on the education system, talking about e-health, e-visits, visiting your doctor over the internet rather than actually in person. And of course, it's pretty hard not to talk about them, but things like wearable computers, whether they're around your wrist or sitting on your face, those are all topics that we'll almost certainly be addressing in the 2014 predictions.
A couple of the predictions which I'm looking at for next year. One of them is related to connected TV, which is one of the themes that we had for this year. And the assumption, I think, a year ago was that if you wanted to connect to TV, you had to have it built in, which was something that we tried to challenge as a piece of understanding. And one of the things which we see happening at this time of year, and which we expect will continue quite a bit for next year, is the growth of really low-cost streaming peripherals, which convert any television into a streaming television, into a connected TV. So one example of that is Google's Chromecast. And that's often regarded as quite a low-cost device at $35. But there are lower-cost devices still, which have been provided on a subsidized basis. So basically what we're seeing is that the cost for creating a connected TV will probably get to about $10 in terms of normal cost in 2014. So it really opens up the market for delivering streamed video content through to television sets. So we'll be looking at that. And then also, Duncan mentioned healthcare apps, and one of the healthcare lifestyle apps which is out there is the Upbound, which does something which I think is quite clever. It connects into another screen, so it's a bit like a hermit app. So it uses other technology which people already have to create an application, so it reduces the overall cost of it and makes it more accessible. And I expect to see a lot more of those hermit apps appearing over the course of 2014. So it's a topic we may look at for next year.
Thanks, guys. And as a reminder to our listeners, you can explore a new mid-year checkpoint infographic, watch videos, listen to more podcasts like this, and download the predictions themselves at www.deloitte.com/predictions2013. Duncan, Paul, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us today on Deloitte Global Insights. Visit www.deloitte.com/predictions2013 to access this year's predictions for technology, media, and telecommunications. Visit www.deloitte.com/global for more on Deloitte member firms' involvement in this industry, as well as other industries and service lines. You've been listening to Deloitte Global Insights, the program that looks at today's important cross-border business issues. We want to hear from you. Contact us with your feedback or suggestions for future podcast topics and find Deloitte Global Insights at www.deloitte.com/podcasts. This has been a production of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited. Thanks for listening and goodbye for now. Deloitte refers to one or more of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited, a UK private company limited by guarantee and its network of member firms, each of which is a legally separate and independent entity. Please see www.deloitte.com/about for a detailed description of the legal structure of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited and its member firms.